Welcome to the IHSAA Insider as we celebrate the 50th anniversary of girls basketball at the Indiana High School Athletic Association. My name is Jane Schott, Assistant Commissioner in charge of girls basketball. We are talking with players, coaches, and officials who have impacted the evolution of the game in our state. As we've always heard, in 49 other states, it's just basketball. But this is Indiana High School girls basketball. Sit back and enjoy reminiscing with the legends of Indiana. Welcome to another edition of the 50th anniversary of the Girls State Finals podcast. We are so excited today. We get to talk to Coach Cinda Brown. She was the Rushville Lady Lions head coach from 1970 to 2000 and was my all-star coach. So I have a personal connection to Coach Brown. Very excited to talk to you today about the last 50 years of girls basketball. Hi, Coach Brown.
Hey, James. Good to talk to you. Of course, you know, I was only 12 when I started coaching. So,
yeah, that's awesome. Yes, we understand that.
Yeah.
Coaches were able to start coaching very early in that era.
Yeah.
You know what? Talk about your first year as a head coach. 1970, the IHSAA had not started girls basketball yet. So what was it like for you?
Well, it was scary. I'll tell you that. You know, I'm just graduated from IU. Here I am coaching and teaching and cheerleader sponsor. And I'm like, oh my goodness. But it was different because I coached all sports. I was the only one. So I coached volleyball, coached tennis, coached basketball, you know. And of course, they started, I believe they started volleyball IHSA before they did basketball. And so I was fortunate that I had good support from the athletic director. And so I said, hey, I need some help here. We're going to be doing IHSAA. We're going to be doing real competition. Because, you know, the way we figured our schedule when it was just GAA is the gals that were the GAA sponsors got together and say, okay, well, let's play on this date and let's play on this date. And then we had the, we had a, one of our teachers and coaches, Bill Gray, started an officials club for the guys. So our first few years, that's who we had high school boys.
Wow.
Actually officiating our games. And we played them in our multi-purpose room, which had a linoleum floor, and lunch was served there. So, you know, we had PE classes, we had lunch, and then in the evenings we had practices. So
that's crazy.
It was exciting.
It was. And in 1972, they started track and field.
Okay.
And there was talk of the next sport. And in basketball came along, but you talked about your 1975 team was pretty good and they missed that opportunity.
Yeah. And oh, one of my players, I'll never forget Denise Mitchell. She was so disappointed because she would score, I don't know, 20, 25 points in a game. She just loved basketball. And then when she found out, and of course, you know, the word gets out, okay, IHSA is taking over. We're going to have really good competition. We're going to travel. And she was very disappointed because that, and we had a really good team, but it carried over. We did okay. And when 75-76 team came through.
Yeah. And you were able to finally make it to the state championship in 1981 and 85 and 93. So you had three trips.
Yeah,
do you remember your tournament?
Oh, yeah. 81 was exciting. Now, actually, this is so funny because we won the first three sectionals, 75, 76, 77, 78. And then I had a really good team in 79, and it was due to my poor coaching that we lost in the sectional that year. But I still am in contact with two or three of the players, well, more than that, but a lot of contact. And the one player will say to me, you know, my claim to fame is I was on the last team because we won 18 consecutive sectionals. So she said, I was on the last team to lose a sectional 1979. And that was a good team too. So, but in the 1980 team, I really felt was maybe a little bit more talented. And we just had a tough regional, blah, blah, blah. You know, those things you never forget. But anyway, so we were really excited when in 81 we were able to, number one, win our first regional, and then we're able to win the semi state and made it to the state.
Well, I think the one thing that every coach will tell you, and you're already, you still critique yourself as, you know, you still think about when you could have won that sectional game, but you have to be lucky. You have to have a program in place, and you got to be lucky. Ball, you know, like you said, how the teams that you played that were difficult and whatever. So how did you prepare your team for that tournament trail every year? 18 consecutive sectionals is fabulous.
And, you know, I think a lot of it is we knew we were going to win. The girls, I think we were able to instill in them the faith or the confidence that we're going to win. And I, you know, I have to admit that I think there are times when we probably beat teams that maybe were more talented. But, and I've always been a great believer in the mental part of the game. I think that's, if you think you're going to win, if you know you're going to win, and just we'll do it.
Were you a basketball player yourself?
Actually, growing up, I played basketball with my brothers out in the barnyard. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I did not have a high school program at all for girls. But when I got to IU and I was taking my freshman physical education class, there was a sign on the door said, anyone wants to try out for the women's basketball team? I'm like, oh, yeah, that would be me. And so I did. And so I played basketball for 4 years at IU. And of course, it was still a club sport at that time. So in fact, I just donated my IU uniform to the Hall of Fame for their new Title IX edition. And it was a penny. Just a red penny with my number, and we wore our PE uniforms underneath that. That was for 4 years. And I have like two pictures of the teams when I played at IU. 4 years, two pictures. So, and we drove ourselves. Dr. Burris was our coach 3 of the 4 years, and she was, you know, a great coach. But it was, we played 3-on-3. And I mean, actually 6-on-6.
Right. Were you an offense or defensive?
Oh, of course. I was offense. In fact, I ran into Dr. Burris and some of the others, and he would say, it's too bad they didn't have the 3-point line, because as soon as you got across that 10-second line, you were on fire.
That's great. I love it.
Yeah.
So it must be a thrilling for you to watch where girls basketball, women's basketball, Caitlin Clark, everybody that you're seeing, thinking about how it's transpired from where it started when you first started playing and also coaching.
I think sometimes I would just want to say, hey girls, do you know how lucky you are? Yeah. You know, I was able to be the welcoming speaker when the NCAA was at Indianapolis. And so here you have the four teams. It was Tennessee, Baylor, of course, I can't remember the other two. That's not good. But anyway, and I said to them, you girls don't know how lucky you are. And of course, that was, you know, 15 years ago, or actually more. But I think probably the thing that, well, like right now, I have a grandniece who's in the fourth grade. She has this great uniform, travel bags. They go play. And I go, Olivia, it's so exciting that you want to play basketball. And, you know, I want you to appreciate how great it is for girls to have the opportunity that you have now, which, you know, 50 years ago, actually a little bit more than that, it wasn't there for ladies. It wasn't there for women.
Yeah. And I think that that's good to have people like you to remind everybody, but it's probably something that's strange to think that the fourth grade uniform is probably nicer than your college uniform.
Oh, yeah, by far.
Yeah.
By far, yeah.
Well, and you're unique too. You didn't play high school basketball, but you played college. That's exactly. Definitely never a thing anymore.
It's, and when I tell people that there were no girls sports in high school for me. And we did get to play a few softball games in the summer, but it wasn't school. It was just, we got together against another school and played softball. And that's my high school athletic career.
Right. Where, when you got to finally coach in a state championship, can you recall what it felt like for you? Because that was, you know, that was 11, 12 years after you started coaching. So it took a while to get there. How was that feeling for you?
Well, of course, you know, we'd always followed the boys and, you know, sectionals and regionals. And the thing that I think was probably very beneficial for Rushville is we had good followings even in the sectionals in those years that we did not win regional. We won sectionals, but we had great crowds. Rushville is a great community to follow their athletic teams. And so, of course, when we won the regional, you know, it just grew, of course. And then you go to the semi-state and then going, I'll never forget that feeling when we went to Market Square for practice that first year. And my girls are like, yeah, okay, looking around. I'm looking around and like, yeah, we're going to play in front of this crowd. But I think they enjoyed that. They just were really, I wouldn't say that they were frightened at all of the fact that they were going to play in front of, I'm not sure, it was 19,000 or how many ever people were there. That they just were excited about it and I think thrilled to get to play in that kind of a venue.
Well, I think you as a coach, I only had you for a short amount of time for our all-star experience, but I will say that your personality puts confidence into young women. And you were very good at assessing talent, figuring out what kids were good at, and putting them in a spot where they could be successful so they felt confident.
Well, I think that's, I think my kids know I love them. You know, I think that the thing that was important is that I cared about them as individuals, not just as a basketball player. And they didn't always appreciate how much I cared about them. I guess sometimes I have a player will come back and say, you know, you were pretty tough on me. And I'm like, well, I guess the good part of that is if I wasn't, that meant I really didn't think that you had a future. So, I wouldn't spend as much time maybe because I knew that you were going to be a good player. So I tried to get the best out of you that I could get. And every player you have to handle, you can't. Obviously, you know this from coaching too, you can't handle every player the same. Some of them can't take that, you know, where you're on their, as we would say, just on their butt all the time, trying to get them to play harder, give it, you know, if you're going to practice hard, you get it. If you're going to play hard, you got to practice hard. And you have some players that just, yeah, okay, coach, I'll, you know, but when the game comes, they really put out 100%. So.
When you talked about watching some of the Rushville games now, and I'm sure you've been back, what's it feel like going back as a former coach when the program is still very successful? One of your former players is the head coach, so there's a lot of ties still for you.
And I live and die with Wink, Melissa Winkler, as much when she's coaching as I'm sure that everybody that's connected with coaching does. You know, I want her to win. I want her to, and she's been coach, believe it or not, 25 years. So she's had the ups and downs. They went to state finals. They've been very successful for the size of community, size of school that we have. I think, you know, we've had a lot of success in Rushville.
That's great. I think the nice thing is that with your ability to watch games and stay connected to her, I'm sure she appreciates that. 31 years of coaching for yourself. When did you know that it was time for you to stop coaching?
Oh, there's multiple factors, but probably the one was that Jack, my husband, was not well. And I knew that, okay, I had to choose between, you know, being a full-time coach, counselor, or being with my husband. And that was the primary factor. I mean, in fact, when I talked to the superintendent of the schools about it, he said, well, just coach, you know, and that would give you more time, you know. And I considered it, you know, to just coach and not be a counselor. But in retrospect, it was the best thing I did. because it gave us some good years that he still had. So there are times when I say, well, you know, I think I could just go out there and coach now. You know, yeah. Especially watching I guess I don't want to go there. But so yeah. Yeah. I think I love the X and O's. I love to watch the games. And of course, we know we're all enthralled now with the Fever, and I have been with the IU women since Terry's the coach there, you know, he's on the all-star team with you. So that's kept my interest very much.
Yeah, there's a lot of great basketball going on in this state. So
yes, there is. For sure.
Well, talk a little bit about, you know, when you were coaching and just the transition of you actually went to class basketball. You were still coaching when that happened, and that must have felt very different. Can you remember anything specific about that time?
Well, since you mentioned that, that's probably one of the factors into my retirement. I love the one class basketball. I mean, here we are, we're a little school, and we made it to the state finals, you know, three times, and with different players, with different generations of players. You know, it wasn't like we went every year with the same players for 3 years. So I wasn't for class basketball. I can see where schools that have won state championships maybe would not have maybe even won a sectional in the past, but now they've won. I can see that excitement. I can see that. So I look at it from both ways. I think it was something special that we had in Indiana with the one class. And you know, people could go back and they could tell you who won the state championship in 1970 or 1985. But now, you know, we have, I don't know, what, either five, four classes. So there's, but for those people, those schools that have made it to the state finals or won their class, that's really cool for them, really.
Yeah, agreed. I think the other piece is, you know, when you transitioned into being a broadcaster, so you actually got to broadcast several state finals. Can you talk a little bit about that part of your career?
Funny. Yeah, it was, you know, talk about being knocked off your feet after we went to the state in 81, and then in 82, we lost in the Simmons State. It was heartbreaking. And then I get this phone call. I can't remember if it was Jerry Baker or Hilliard Gates that called and said, hey, would you be interested in doing the state finals? I'm like, well, that brought me out of my deep depression. that'd be pretty cool. So then I did the telecast, I think, every year except for when we were actually playing in it. So yeah, and then they would like to give me a hard time, you know, which was most exciting. I'm well, if I can't be coaching here, then okay, we'll do this.
I've broadcast many state championships, and they always were great in saying, if you don't make it, then we'd like to have you. So you and I share that. And I got to work with Jerry Baker, which is pretty cool. Yeah.
Cool guy.
Well, that's awesome. So how do you keep yourself occupied nowadays? Do you get to watch a lot of basketball? Are you involved in, you said something about your great niece. So a little coaching her possibly?
Yeah. No. I mean, I love to go watch her play. And actually we were up, you know, I live full time in Florida, so that sort of makes those things difficult, but we were up last year around the holiday time and got to go watch her play. And that was exciting. But I have been a golfer for many years, and I've started playing tennis again after 25 years of not playing while I was coaching, because that time didn't last. But so I play a lot of golf, a lot of tennis, and we watch a lot of basketball.
That's great.
That's why we got those packages, so we can watch Indiana pros, WNBA, high school, whatever.
Oh, that's pretty exciting. Yeah. How old were you when you first became a head coach? You're probably 22?
22, yeah.
Okay. So here's a question. If you could go back and tell 22-year-old Cinda Brown something, what would you say?
I guess maybe don't worry about so much. I wanted everything to be blocked, you know, 8 o'clock this, 9 o'clock this, 12 o'clock this. This is every practice, every game, travel, and enjoy the moment, maybe a little bit more, you know, because I look back and I reflect on, we went to the state finals 3 times, you know, when it was one class. So that was pretty special. And I enjoy that. And every once in a while, I'll get on YouTube and watch some of the games. I still have them, but they're on 8 tracks, you know, so.
Yeah.
And just think, oh, that was really exciting. Did I really realize how exciting it was when it was going on? But that's it.
Be in that moment.
Yep.
That's great. Yeah. Well, I hope that you get to come back and spend the moment with us when we celebrate the 50th anniversary of the girls state tournament this coming season for when we get to the state championship. There's going to be a celebration, and we would love to be a part of it.
Well, if any way possible, I'll be there.
That sounds great. Thank you, Cinda, for joining us today. It was sheer joy talking to you.
Thank you. And it was great talking to you too. I can talk about basketball any day.
I know, it's true, right?
Yeah.
Very good. Thank you for joining us on the IHSA Insider. Tune in next time for more conversations with the legends of Indiana High School girls basketball. And remember, this is your IHSAA.